Begun. Oakland has begun in Oakland.
California.
California.
All these beautiful people are.
Welcome to Occupy Oakland.
I'm a white man. I'm a professional architect. And until recently, I was in the middle class. And I'm one of the 99%. And by definition, the 99% already occupy Oakland. The 1% needs to get that. Many years ago in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I saw a flyer announcing a demonstration. And it had two things that you should do. Which I have always kept with me. One. Wear a symbol of your oppression. And two. Bring an umbrella if it rains. And when you see me here. In my suit and dress shirt and tie. That's the symbol of my oppression.
She's right on the money.
Don't walk over there.
The United States is a corporation for profit.
The United States is a corporation for profit.
That is the problem. The United States. Should be reintegrated. As a non-profit organization.
People's mic.
Hello, good people of Oakland. It's a pleasure to be here with you all. Now this is what I'm going to do. I'd like to share a vision with you.
I have an idea.
That one day we all come together. And take the economy back from the corporate bosses. I have a plan. I'd like to share it with you. My plan is based on cooperative equal engagement.
Yeah, go up.
My plan is called. Economics. We share the economy equally. I can't go into the details with you right now. But I'd like to give you my phone number if you'd like to hear about it.
I'd like to give you my phone number if you'd like to hear about it.
Website. Okay.
The
website is Al Harris.
The website is Al Harris.
510.
510.
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Thank you all.
Equals Mike.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dr. Henry Clark. I'm the director of a numerous groups, or one you may have heard of, the West County Taxes Coalition in Richmond, that has been fighting the Chevron refinery there, one of the corporations that have a stranglehold on our system. I'm here today to join on with you here in occupying Oakland, as well as in solidarity with the people in New York and all around the world that's opposing this system. Our government has been lying to us. They're talking about freedom of the people and all that, but that's a lie. We fed a diet of war and racism under the pretense of fighting terrorism. Well, guess what? If you look at history, I believe that this country was started with terrorism. Terrorists attacking and killing the British, setting fires and so forth in Boston. This was terrorist acts. Period, plain and clear. So it ain't about this country fighting on terrorism. It's for profit. Profit and gain for the ruling class that want to use us as pawns. That's why I refuse to go into the Vietnam War, because I was already fighting right here on the streets for justice and equality for people. And those lies still continue to go on. Hell, you heard when the government talked about the last so-called terrorist they killed, Brother Al-Awlaki, and that wasn't the first time that the U.S. government had killed one of their citizens. We forget they killed J.F. Kennedy, the on-down president. What about the government's FBI's counterintelligence program that killed so many Fred Hampton and Mark Clark in Chicago and so many other Black Panther Party members? That was terrorism, and I was shot memory. And then here we are today, and still perpetrating the damn lie. Talk about Columbus Day. Columbus ain't discovered nothing. You know, Native Americans are already here. So here we, the facts are there. I'm not just up here accusing the government, but the facts is there. The system, the ruling class don't care nothing about us. You know, a family member of mine bought a home recently. And here's the nonsense, paid about $100,000 for the home, okay, but the damn interest is more than what the home costs. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is ripoff. So the system is not trying to help us on no home, not trying to provide no jobs for us, health care, don't care at all. We have to continue to fight for those social needs out there. That's the only way we're going to get it. Brother Frederick Douglass said earlier in history, power gives up nothing without a fight. And believe me, my life is dedicated to fighting. And I'm going to fight until the final victory. That's why I'm here with you. All power to the people. Now with the world's feet.
If you want to smoke, please take it across the street. There are kids here, so if you want to smoke a cigarette, go across the street. Thank you.
Amen.
When I say fuck, y'all say Columbus. Fuck!
Columbus!
Fuck!
Columbus!
Fuck!
Columbus!
Fuck!
Columbus!
Anyway, it's true. It's true what the brother was saying before. The system ain't broken. The system is working the way it's supposed to work, the way it's been working ever since it was founded on slavery and genocide and all the rest of it. I wanted to read something. I wanted to read something from the book Basics, from the talks and writings of Bob Avakian, that speaks to the young people, the youth whose life is stolen, whose future is stolen, who are condemned to an early death or a life of misery and brutality. I'm talking about the youth whose options in life are have three options: poverty, prison, or the military. And as the man was saying, who refused to go to Vietnam and fight, we need a whole new generation of young people that are refusing to fight and die for this empire. This is the quote. It is not uncommon to hear these days from government officials and others that only 1% of the population is in the U.S. military, but this 1% is fighting for the freedom of the other 99%. The truth, however, is this. That 1% in the military is in reality fighting for the other 1%. The big capitalist imperialists who run this country, who control the economy, the political system, the military, the media, and the other key institutions, and who dominate large parts of the world, wreaking havoc and causing great suffering for literally billions of people. It is the freedom of these capitalist imperialists, their freedom to exploit, oppress, and plunder, that this 1% in the military is actually killing and sometimes dying for. So we need a whole new generation of young people that are saying we are not their soldiers, you know, and instead of being killers for the empire, dedicating their lives to emancipating humanity. And the point is this, our generation has been lied to. Our generation has been told that capitalism is the end of history, that this system is all there is. But the fact is, actually, we can do much better than capitalism. We can do much better than capitalism, and I encourage people to check out Revolution Newspaper to find out about the new synthesis of revolution, of socialism, of communism that Bob Avakian has developed, because a whole other world is possible, and it's up to us to make it real.
Excuse my poor public speaking skills. Closer. Please excuse my poor public speaking skills, but I am speaking from my heart. Rhetoric is good, but we need more than rhetoric. Let's all understand that the system comes back from thousands, millions of years ago, okay? When, you know, a dog eat dog, okay? That's where our system comes from, okay? We know our system came from, our country was born on terrorism, yes. Terrorism is everywhere, including in our country. We're not immune to terrorism. But what are we gonna do about it? What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do forward, okay? What are we gonna do forward about it? Let's be specific, okay? First of all, I don't know the specifics of this stuff, but first of all, Wall Street has to give the money back for the bonuses. Yeah. Give the fucking money back! Start with Barbara Lee. Tell her what the hell happened to our money. Okay? Yeah. Be specific. Okay, one more thing, then I'm gonna leave. Pick some fucking corporation to boycott. One fucking more corporation that we will not give more money to. Okay? When you give money to the corporations, you're making them strong. Don't give money to Exxon. Don't give money to General Motors. Don't give money to the rubber tire companies. But pick one corporation that we can all boycott so they'll know we're out here. Pick one.
Can we now just take... I want everybody to go to somebody next to them and say, I am Oakland, and you can introduce yourself. Now that's what we should be showing the TV stations in Oakland. Look at that.
That's love. Show the TV station that there's love and community in Oakland first.
If you like what you see, throw your hands in the air.
Support this.
So for the next minute, there should be silence to remember those who fought for us and who's died here locally in Oakland. If you guys can do that, that'd be awesome. Now let's take this time to remember those lands who this was before we came here.
Anyone can come up on the mic. We don't have leaders here or facilitators, so please feel free to come give your voice. That's what we believe in. And again, no leaders.
Turn it around. You're pointing it down.
I stand here today.
Hey, hold on, hold on. Turn this around that way.
I stand here today as a person who lives in Oakland. As a person, as a person who's seen what happens in Oakland, as a person who's seen all the homeless people, the people in poverty, the people who are on the streets, the people who have no home, no money to buy food. People who are struggling to raise their children. Today, as I was going home from school, I ran into a woman. This woman, she asked me for a dollar for food. I asked her, "What's the situation with welfare?" She replied, she sounded so scared. She said that I couldn't get welfare. Nobody will help me. Nobody will help me. She kept repeating that nobody would help her. She's not the only one. There are thousands of people like that. In Oakland, in California, in America. People who are starving, struggling to raise their families. What is the government doing? Can't they see it? I refuse to believe that this government cannot do something about the people who are struggling with their lives. I refuse to believe that this America we believe in cannot fix this problem. I stand here today as a citizen of America, as a resident of Oakland.
All right.
I stand here today to tell the world that America can do it.
Yeah.
Become the great America that we claim to be. Who's with me?
Yeah. Okay, can everyone hear me? Okay, this doesn't work either because if y'all can see what I see, there's hell of people here. Mic check!
San Francisco.
My name is Kyle. I'm from Occupy San Francisco.
I'm here in solidarity with Occupy Oakland.
I'm here in solidarity with Occupy Oakland.
I'm here to give a big thanks to everybody.
who came out for the police raid last Wednesday.
Yes! And I'm here to give a big thanks to everyone who came out for the police raid on Wednesday.
With all of you beautiful people, we were able to hold the Federal Reserve.
We were able to hold the Federal Reserve.
And take back what was ours. And I just really appreciate everybody coming out.
Really appreciate everybody coming out.
And I think we should occupy the whole Bay Area.
Mike check.
My name is Richard. I used to work in these streets for almost 30 years. I wasn't a cop. And when we think about it, they say that there's no money in society. But they can allot $16 trillion for the banks. $2 or $3 trillion for wars, predatory wars around the world.
And what do they do?
They mistakenly blow up a wedding in Afghanistan and give the people $100 each for their kids and say we're sorry. They mistakenly blow up a wedding in Afghanistan. Offer the parents of the dead children $100. Can you imagine the hatred and anger toward this country? The other day, they're talking about closing 4,000 post offices. Because the post office doesn't make profit. Who gives a shit? It's a public service. Healthcare is a public service. Education is a public service. $10 billion it says they're short. Two human beings in America last year probably earned $10 billion. They talk about violence. And they point to the unemployed youth and the gangs. Taking a person's job is a violent act. Taking their home is a violent act. The biggest gang of all is the Chamber of Commerce. So I just want to finish by saying, I believe we have to overcome our own consciousness and reject the idea that there's no money. We're not asking for little things. We want free healthcare. We want free education. We want a $20 an hour minimum wage because you can't live on less.
Okay, she can't come up here, but she's going to come as close as she can.
That's okay.
What we're trying to do right now is we really are trying to create another world. We don't want leaders. We don't want someone standing here dictating on the horn. We want everyone to freely feel good about coming up. We don't have leaders, so I'm trying to get people to stop coming up here, the same ones, and try and tell us things. I'd like this lady to come up. She can't get up here. She's challenged with two walking things, but I'm sure her voice can be...
People's way. You can do both.
You can both. I want different faces here, not the same ones. Relax. You're going to relax.
I represent the working class of America.
Everybody needs to be in solidarity.
And stand strong.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My phone check. I'm going to use this horse so that y'all can hear me.
We're going to use the horn
so that you can hear me, and then we're going to also use the relay system as well.
Okay.
Who are we?
Residents of Oakland.
Concerned citizens. People.
With objective.
With purpose.
With pride.
What are we going to do? And where are we going to go?
From here.
Today.
We are somebody.
United we stand.
Divided we fall.
United.
It's here. And now.
In the moment.
It's communication.
It's two components. That we need to add.
As a people.
To healthcare.
One.
Is what we teach.
The official controlling party.
Government.
Legislation.
Et cetera. How to make decisions.
Get support the masses.
Get our best interests at heart.
And guess what?
There's one thing they can't reckon with.
Look around you.
Force. See? They can't reckon with this.
And guess what you call this?
You call it a matrix.
A matrix is our plight.
As our underclass. Group of people. It's called stepping up to the plate. Wobble. You drop it like his hat. There's
two methods of government.
One is basic capitalist arrangements. Well, 1% is controlling everything.
1% controlling everything.
Like the one we've been residing under since day one. And the other one is people's government. 99% rule.
Where everybody is somebody.
And that's what we represent. We represent the people.
People's government.
I guess we got other people now.
We got other people now.
So I got to go.
Thank you.
If you are part of the logistics committee of Occupy Oakland, please meet at Tully's. If you are part of the logistics, go to Tully's.
Everybody check out the Rainbow Gathering. WelcomeHome.org. Alternate system. Feed people in the forest. What up?
Okay, we're going to try and get everybody to go into the plaza. We do not want to go outside into the actual street. We don't mind blocking the street, but to be able to announce everything clearly and to get as many people that can hear this, if you go this way, where I'm pointing at...
It's so quick.
Excuse me, I'm talking so fast. I need this group.
No one's going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere.
This is not your organization.
It's a group decision.
We can use this right there. We just need... everybody moves over here. It's not
I don't think it matters.
That way.
I think that's probably a good idea.
It doesn't matter.
Can everybody please shift that way, the way that I am pointing right now?
Everybody!
Because everybody, just the major amount of group, so we do not get into the street.
Yes, we can!
Start harassing us.
Yes, we can!
Look, we are not cooperating, but we're not trying to cause any trouble either.
Just keep off the sidewalk!
No, we ain't saying keep off the sidewalk, we just want the majority to shift. Majority shift, thank you. I see most of you care and do understand what I'm saying. Thank you very much. Now the stack will commence with this Brother in Orange fan. Come on, man. You got this whole big crowd.
Wake him up! Wake him up!
Hello. Yo, mic check?
Mic check!
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Jeremiah.
Hi, Jeremiah.
We are the 99%.
We are the 99%.
And stand here in full awareness. Of the limited conditions created. By you, the corporations. But we want to remind you. That no matter what conditions arise. From the obvious manipulation. Of the human spirit. We will remain whole. We are the 99%.
We are whole.
We are perfect.
We are strong.
We are powerful.
We are loving.
We are loving.
We are loving.
We are harmonious. And we are happy. Thank you. Occupy Oakland! Occupy San Francisco! Occupy your heart space! Now!
Push the button and go, Mike. Other side, other side, that side.
I want a future!
I want a future!
Let's make a change!
Let's make a change!
Say your name!
Oh, my name is Akil.
Yay!
Yeah!
NWWG.
NWWG.
Washington to Wall Street Green.
Washington to Wall Street Green.
NWWG.
NWWG.
Washington to Wall Street Green.
Washington to Wall Street Green.
Yes.
They're breaking form and everything.
Sisters and brothers, unlike many of you here, I'm not here for what's been happening today. I'm here for something that happened 67 years ago. 67 years ago, the state of South Carolina executed 14-year-old George Denny. And before they killed him, the mask fell down off his face to reveal the tears streaming down his eyes as he sat all alone in that electric chair. Even his parents couldn't be with him in his last days. And has anything changed since then?
Not a lot.
All we have to do is remember two other names, Oscar Grant and Troy Davis. We see the cruel, vicious, bloodthirsty face
of this system when we remember those names, and we should never, ever forget those three names and the many, many other thousands and millions that have passed before them and since them. We should remember the workers that were on strike in Ludlow, Colorado, that were machine gunned down by the U.S. military. We should remember all those other victims. And we should also be aware, just as the state of Georgia lynched Troy Davis, they're lynching our jobs. They're murdering our wages. They're conspiring against and killing everything I'm getting to that, brother. Everything that we value in life.
Oh, John.
I'm here for my granddaughter, who's down in Los Angeles, 8 years old. She started the Junior Freedom Fighters. I'm here for a decent world for her. We should remember 1946, and here's where I'm getting to what you asked, brother. 1946, here in Oakland, the very last city in this country in that year that had a general strike. The workers shut down the entire city. And I should just remind you that, you know, they talk all about crime and murder and everything. Even the chief of police had to admit that during that general strike, crime came to a halt here in Oakland. So, Oakland put itself on the map in 1946. It's time to put itself on the map once again. We might have a few steps to take for that general strike here in Oakland, but we need a general strike here. We need it in America. We need it all around the world. We're here for workers that run their own unions and for workers that can run their own country and run their own world. That's what we're here for. Thank you.
America awesome! America awesome! America fall!
Shut it down!
Spring!
We the people!
We the people!
On the real though, on the real.
Hopefully we all meet at least one person today. But that's not why we're here today. Today, I want to talk about... Okay, do your thing, do your thing. Ready to roll? Mic check!
Mic check!
So today, I'm going to talk about decisions.
And what... I'm going to talk about...
So, it's,
up a little?
It's very clear to many of us that the people that we call the
1%. It's very clear to us that the people we call the 1%.
They have made their decision.
They have made their decision.
They have decided.
They have decided.
That our jobs will be cut so they can increase their profits.
That our jobs will be cut so they can increase their profits.
They have decided that our education will be sacrificed.
They have decided that our education will be sacrificed.
That only the rich can get a public education.
That only the rich can get a public education.
While the banks get bailed out. And they have decided. That people will get kicked out of their homes. While corporations have never been more profitable. So we have a decision right here and now. I'm gonna ask you a very honest question. Do you respect yourself?
Yes.
Do you value yourself?
Yes.
If that's the case, we refuse to let our lives be dominated by 99%.
We refuse to let our lives be dominated by
1%. Oh yeah. 99%, excuse me, I'm a little dyslexic. We refuse to let our lives be dominated by 1%.
So whether or not
you decide to camp out tonight or what you do the rest of the day. I'll try that again.
Whether or not
we decide to camp out tonight. Or do whatever the next couple days. The real question. Is whether we're going to decide to be organizers. So while this is something. This is nowhere. Where we need to be. Where we're going
to be.
Every single one of us can organize. At our schools.
At our schools.
At our jobs.
At our jobs.
In our communities.
In our communities.
So one last question. Do you value yourself?
Do you value
your community members?
Do you value your community members?
Do you value your co-workers?
Do you
value your classmates?
Do you value your classmates?
I think we've made our decision.
Yo, we're about to get a call from the comrades at Occupy Wall Street. We're calling them right now, so just hold on a second. We gotta get connected over here.
Every day.
More and more people are stopping by. It's pretty amazing what's happening right now. And everything we're hearing from all the occupations that are growing day by day across the country and across the world is just helping it grow and helping it see this movement. It's really inspiring what's happening out there today. It's really amazing what's happening. People are coming together like they never have before. They're realizing that this system that we're living under just keeps us apart. Everybody works all day just to make money. There's never any time to come together to be able to share our experiences. And this is something that's letting us do that. And the more and more we get together, the more and more we realize that this system isn't working for us. It never will work for us, and we gotta tear it down. And that's all.
And what system you're talking about?
We are not the terrorists.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. It's a really diverse group of people that I'm meeting here. Everybody comes from different reference points. People have different life experiences, but we're realizing that a lot of things that affect us are the same, and a lot of people are realizing that the system is capitalism, is what we're living under. It's this thing that they call democracy. We're starting to understand what that really means for us. And people have been quiet for too long. I think they've reached this point where they're starting to see more clearly what's going on. They're seeing whose interests the police are guarding. You know, people are realizing that it's not here to serve and protect us. They're here to help people in power. We're seeing politicians either trying to slowly support us even though they're late and they don't mean it, or they're denouncing us as basically terrorists or know-nothing hippies or whatever they might say, but we're realizing that we have the power. The only thing that can really change things, the only thing that can tear the system down is us. It's working together, and people are holding assemblies. People are meeting, people are talking, people are coming together from all different walks of life like they never have before. And that's the only way we're gonna feel band together, feel how powerful that we actually can be. And stop it. Stop this system that's killing us. Just take it down. People are talking about capitalism. It started off, I mean, people, like I was saying before, people come from a lot of different points. Some people are talking about reform, some people are talking about certain voting acts. More and more, as people talk and people discuss, they're realizing that it's a larger issue. It's an entire system. It's capitalism. It's this advanced capitalist system that we're living in right now, that everything's a commodity. We have to work all the time just to pay our rent, and still then we're come up short. It's amazing talking to teachers, talking to people working in coffee shops, talking to construction workers. Everybody's coming to the same conclusion, you know, and they're able to voice it. And it's deeper. It's not just about, it's not an individual thing. It's not our fault that we can't pay our bills. The system, this capitalist system is tough, so we're bought into it. We have to live and slave away day to day just to continue being in debt, and it's not a system that works. It doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for any of us. You know, it works for the 1%, it works for those in power, it works for the ruling class, it works for the politicians, but it doesn't work for us, it doesn't work for the people, and people are realizing that, and that's the power of this movement.
Can you talk about what happened when people took over the Brooklyn Bridge?
Yeah, definitely. It was pretty amazing, because a lot of things are happening, you know. I'm talking about two Saturdays ago. There was a march, and every Saturday here we've been holding marches, and every Saturday trying to push things a little farther, just try to get more attention about what we're doing and try to get more people to join us. And two Saturdays ago there was a march that started off against the police brutality that we've been facing weekly as we hold our protest. And at this march, the march went past the Brooklyn Bridge, and a group of people in the front, and decided, why don't we take the bridge? And it became a popular decision, and everybody joined, marched over the bridge, and then took the bridge for the first time that that's happened in maybe two decades in a protest situation. And the police surrounded it after a few were got halfway through. The police surrounded it and arrested about 700 people. And it was a really big deal. Made headlines around the world, and it also really helped build support for what's going on. You know, it was impossible to ignore it, and you know, everybody from the mayor to the police to the media has been trying to either ignore or demonize the protest. And what's amazing is that people think that, especially when we are able to push the envelope more and not just stay in the park, but move around the city and you know, take the streets, do things that might be illegal, but that are pushing things. And that's when people really start to listen. That's when people really understand that we're serious. That's really important. We have to keep pushing things, because if we just stay within ourselves and with our General Assembly, as important as that stuff is, but we have to move things. We have to keep spreading the occupation to all levels. Think about occupying buildings, occupying schools, occupying city halls, occupying government buildings. We have to People are talking about occupying everything. It's amazing. It's like literally a month ago, I never would have imagined that this kind of conversations would be happening. We have people who work with the homeless that are talking about the need for occupying these abandoned buildings. We have students who are talking all over the city to occupying their schools. It hasn't happened yet, but there's every Saturday there's youth student assemblies where that's the main thing on the agenda, and people, it's like hundreds and even thousands of people meeting, talking about this, talking about the need that they have, you know, and it's this thing that we have to keep spreading it. That's the most important thing. We have to keep spreading occupation, we have to occupy everything. That's been one thing that's been kind of contentious. Like I said before, you know, there's still all walks of life involved in this occupation. People have lots of different life experiences. You know, I have a sense of life experiences growing up in Brooklyn under Giuliani administration, understanding how the NYPD has criminalized generations of youth. And there's other people who don't have that same perspective. You know, there's people from other parts, to people from, you know, more middle class backgrounds, or from many different backgrounds, to maybe have different experiences. And a lot of the discourse was that the police are part of the 99%. And I won't get into that debate, but I mean, I think that a lot of what we've seen in the past few weeks has shown that, for better or for worse, the police seem to be withholding the interests of those in power. There's been massive arrests, there's been brutality, there's been people sent to the hospital by the police, there's been pepper spray. And every inch that we make that goes outside of Scotty Park, that goes outside of Liberty Plaza, we have to fight for. And I mean, people are doing it very peacefully. You know, people are right now still at this level where people are very passive and polite to the police, and we're still trying to win the police over, but we're also seeing that it's not as every time we try to push the envelope, we see the police pushing us back harder and harder. And we start to realize more and more that the police seem to be there just to protect those in power. You know, they're 24 hours guarding Wall Street, guarding the bankers, guarding the stock traders, everybody's there. And meanwhile, they're laying off. On Friday, they laid off 627 teachers here in the city, and the police numbers continue to swell. So we see, I think that those in power understand that. So the one group that they need to keep employed is the police, because they do, I think they understand that the police are protecting the interests of those in power. And until I see that with my own eyes change, I won't believe that they're part of the 99%, because it hasn't borne out that way, at least here in New York.
What do people in New York think about Oakland, with the recent hospital stuff, and you know, the different resistance movements in Oakland? Do people in New York know about that?
Well, I can't speak obviously for everybody in New York, but a lot of people that I've spoken to have been extremely inspired by the movement around the anti-brutality, the Oscar Grant movement. you know, a lot of people understand that as something, see as a successful and inspiring movement that happened. You know, here we have Sean Bell, we have Amadou Diallo, we have a whole list of people who have been killed by the police. And unfortunately, the police face such impunity here, you know, that if there haven't been these movements, these really strong movements, have pushed things farther. You know, there's always things, always protests, there's civil disobedience, but I think a lot of people are really inspired by how people in Oakland have stepped up and continue to step things up, and that's something that I find really inspiring. And, yeah, I mean, that's something that we think of too when we think about police and about a movement that is there to challenge police brutality, you know, and I think a lot of people really are inspired by that. Well, I mean, it's great that you're there. That's the first step. Planning, talk to each other.
What's up with the sound?
Make your occupation as strong as possible. And as soon as you get that point, you spread it. You gotta spread it. You gotta keep spreading the occupation. You can't stop.
Yeah, nobody can hear that.
We can't take this place. We're gonna keep pushing. Don't let them tell you what to do. Don't let politicians join you and try to take over. Don't let the police push you around.
Fighting, and I think we're spreading day by day. Now we're on plan. I feel really strong movement. I'm really excited about what's going on out there. I know you guys are going to hold it down. And people in New York are going to be watching you. You're going to be coming there for us for the rest of the world.
Bye, solidarity. From New York, keep it up. Oh, please. Yeah.